You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Finally, just on the practicalities of this, if you tell any one of those juries that this fancy-sounding International Association on the Research of Cancer found a hazard warning for glyphosate, that sounds pretty bad. But every agency around the globe, New Zealand, Japan, Australia, the European Union, Canada, they've all looked at glyphosate. It's probably the most studied herbicide in the history of man. And they've all reached the conclusion based on more data and the kind of expert analysis they can do that there isn't a risk here. You shouldn't let a single Missouri jury second guess that judgment. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel. The case is submitted.
Attorney Paul Clement representing Monsanto before the Supreme Court. Challenge on glyphosate. The Supreme Court expected to rule on that later this year. Florida imposing new import restrictions on warm-blooded animals from six South Texas counties due to a growing New World screwworm threat near the U.S.-Mexican border. Move adds yet another layer of pressure as livestock producers already deal with tighter cattle movement and broader biosecurity issues. Now, Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller said Florida's action, understandable, reflects how serious the threat has become. Florida officials said New World screwworm can infect livestock, pets, wildlife, and in rare cases, people, usually through open wounds. USDA's latest export inspection showing a mixed week for grain movement, with corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving lower than the previous week, while sorghum remains sharply above year-ago levels. Report also offers another snapshot of how demand is lining up late in the marketing year. Corn inspections for the week, 64.7 million bushels, down from the previous week and just below the 65.6 million bushels inspected 1 year ago. Soybean inspections, 23.1 million bushels, down from the previous week, but still well above where we were 1 year ago. Wheat inspections, 13.4 million bushels, down from 19 million the week before and still below the four-week average. But sorghum inspections, 7.1 million bushels, though lower than the previous week, far above the 900,000 bushels during the same week last year. And data center growth accelerating in rural America. It's bringing new tax revenue and infrastructure investment, while also putting more pressure on farmland, water, and electricity. For ag, the issue not just development. Question is whether rural communities can add digital infrastructure without undercutting long-term farm and ranch productivity. American Farm Bureau Federation says thousands of data centers now active or under construction across the country. Group says those projects are increasingly moving into rural areas because land is available, transmission access is stronger, and local zoning can be more flexible. And Liz Schwab is Google Data Center Development Lead.
For decades, the U.S. has underinvested in the grid because we had basically, flat electricity load growth. But of course, in recent years, that has completely changed. So we need to invest in our grid, and data centers are helping to accelerate that.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
At the EPA, under President Trump, we strongly believe that we can both protect the environment and grow the economy. No longer is this a binary choice where we can only select one or the other.
Lee Zeldin is administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency.
This past January, at the one-year mark of President Trump's term in office, I announced 500 top environmental wins during that first year. These actions advance our core mission of protecting human health and the environment. Included in this list is the signing of our historic agreement with the Mexican government to end the decades-long Tijuana River sewage crisis. Highlights also include completing five-year reviews for 26 Superfund sites across New England and announcing $3 billion in new funding for states to reduce lead exposure in drinking water. Additionally, less than 60 days into this administration, we launched the largest deregulatory agenda in U.S. history, 31 actions that apply common sense, unleash U.S. energy dominance, and strengthen the American economy. President Trump promised a government that actually works for the people. This administration is following through on that pledge. In my first year as administrator, I fulfilled a commitment I made during my confirmation to visit all 50 states, and I completed that effort in just 9.5 months. It was exciting to often witness in my travels, groundbreaking after groundbreaking. Because of President Trump's leadership, we've seen record-breaking investments pouring into our country. The Trump EPA is cutting costs for American families by ending the Green New Scam and rescinding the 2009 endangerment finding, freeing the auto industry from Obama and Biden-era rules that pushed costly electric vehicles. Without apology, the agency is ending years of regulatory whiplash, dismantling the unlawful crown jewel of climate activists and putting affordability ahead of alarmism. This is the single largest deregulatory action in American history and lessens the federal government's harmful grip over the economy, saving over $1 trillion and bringing down the cost of new vehicles. A stark contrast with our predecessors, the Trump administration is committed to building reliable baseload power, including coal, which is why we rescinded the Biden EPA's amendment in the 2024 Mercury and Air Toxics Rule. Having reliable baseload power is vital to energy affordability and our national security. Americans will see the expected $670 million in regulatory compliance cost savings in the form of lower costs of transportation, heating, utilities, farming, and manufacturing, and more reliable energy. EPA has also been hard at work to create a durable and clear definition of waters in the United States, faithfully abiding by the Supreme Court's decision in Sackett. EPA has the responsibility to ensure federally jurisdictional water resources are protected while setting clear and practical rules of the road that accelerate economic growth and advance cooperative federalism. Once finalized, this new definition will cut red tape and provide predictability, consistency, and clarity for permitting under the Clean Water Act. Additionally, EPA political and career leadership worked to reorganize the agency workforce to best support EPA's mission, fulfill our statutory obligations, protect human health and the environment, and power the great American comeback. The establishment of the new Office of Applied Science and Environmental Solutions allows the Trump EPA to bolster gold standard science across the agency. We are also working through the chemical backlog we inherited from the Biden administration. Our team has made significant progress getting newer, safer chemicals reviewed and old chemicals off the market. Over the last year, we've approved many of the state implementation plans the Biden administration disapproved. We know the best solutions come from Americans across the country who know their communities best. EPA is committed to working with our regional and state partners to protect national ambient air quality standards and move away from the so-called good neighbor plans.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Agriculture Today.
The effects and the impact of climate change are real.
Interesting exchange between Connecticut Representative Rosa DeLauro and the administrator of the EPA, Lee Zeldin, in an appropriation subcommittee hearing.
You probably did see the report on Antarctica and the glaciers and melting and all this. It was an extraordinary documentary over this past weekend. This is an administration that is hell-bent, in my view, on ignoring science. Just 2 weeks ago, you reportedly attended a climate deniers conference. And in your remarks, you said, quote, "For those who wanted to criticize my appearance here before this group, it really shows the desperation of just how many walls have collapsed of this last line of defense," end quote. In Connecticut, we have seen increasing heat waves, extreme precipitation, devastating floods, impacting everything, farming, school closures, damaging homes and businesses. Climate change is harming our health and our environment, but is also harming Americans financially. This administration, however, is running the playbook on making the problem worse, focusing on policies that are handouts to the fossil fuel companies, like reversing the 2009 greenhouse gas endangerment finding, rolling back fuel emission standards for motor vehicles, and reducing methane leak monitoring requirements. The budget proposal reads like a climate change deniers manifesto. When climate change is flooding our streets, poisoning our air, driving up health care and disaster costs, how can the EPA justify abandoning that duty to protect Americans, to appease polluters under the false flag of economic growth?
Following the law, Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, where does it say anything about fighting global climate change? Loper Bright, Supreme Court case. You familiar with it?
No, I maybe others are. I'm not, but let me ask.
But that's really important. As a member of Congress, Loper Bright says that we as an agency don't have the authority to get creative. If Section 202 of the Clean Air Act.
No, but you don't have, excuse me, you do not have the right to say climate change does not exist, that it's a hoax, and that's where this administration is coming from.
I understand you're upset that you don't know what Loper Bright is. Do you know what the major policies doctrine is?
I'm upset because.
Do you know what the major policies doctrine is?
You know what, let me just.
You're a member of Congress. You should know.
Well, you have moved from someone who defended the environment to all of a sudden
being very defensive about not knowing the two biggest landmark Supreme Court cases of the last year with regards to your question.
You are very defensive about changing your policy and your positions with regard to the environment.
Okay.
Now, you just tell
me. You want
me
to tell you what the two biggest Supreme Court cases are of the last few years?
This is what I want you
to
tell me.
Michigan versus EPA.
Whoa.
West Virginia versus EPA.
You know, you're here because you need money from us. So halt for the second. And wait for the questions and answer the questions.
Well, I answered your question.
No, you didn't.
And you didn't like my answer because you don't know what Loper Bright is, because you don't know what the major policies doctrine is.
Chairman,
because you're asking me
questions.
You're asking me about Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, and you don't read it. You don't know what it says.
Listen, and what you want to do is to deny.
I actually read the law. I do my homework.
Really?
You're just somebody who likes to have the microphone on. You know what I have to do? I read the law.
No,
I read
Chairman,
the Supreme Court cases.
I don't have to listen to this, and I would say
no. What you should do for your constituents is actually read statute.
This budget is at real risk.
Read
Let
your Supreme
you.
Court.
This is the Appropriations Committee.
Oh, you
come
gonna,
here.
You care about
you
science? Now you're threatening to defund it?
Oh my God! No, you don't fund
because
science.
You don't know what Loper Bright is. Because
deniers.
You don't know what the major policies
you
doctrine
are
is. Your message
deniers.
To our folks at the EPA is that you want to defund us.
I don't have to listen to this BS.
The BS. You think I made up these cases?
Yeah, I think you have made up a whole
I made up Loper Bright. I made up West Virginia versus EPA. I made up Michigan versus EPA.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We'll hear argument next in case 24-1068, Monsanto Company versus Darnell.
At the Supreme Court on Monday, attorney Paul Clement, counsel of record for Monsanto.
Respondents' label-based failure to warn claim is preempted twice over. First, it is preempted by the express terms of FIFRA's express preemption clause, which forecloses state labeling claims that are in addition to or different from those imposed under FIFRA. Here, a Missouri jury imposed a cancer warning requirement that the EPA does not require. That additional requirement is preempted. Now, respondent concedes, as he must, that the state tort law is a labeling requirement for purposes of preemption clause. Bates held as much. Nonetheless, he insists that unless Congress expressly directs the agency to bind the judiciary, then the requirements that are imposed on a particular pesticide in the registration process and backed by criminal penalties are not federal requirements. That defies common sense, the statutory text, and this court's precedents. In particular, this court's 8-1 decision in Regal, where this court held that similar agency-imposed requirements on a particular device are federal requirements for preemption purposes. The same result follows from principles of impossibility preemption. The EPA regulation and the government's brief here makes crystal clear that a registrant cannot change the safety warnings on a pesticide label without approval of the agency. Thus, Missouri law here requires something that not only is not required by federal law, but that federal law doesn't even allow. Either way you come to it, either via express preemption or impossibility preemption, the result here is clear. Congress plainly wanted uniformity when it came to the safety warnings on a pesticide's label. Ignoring Congress's clear direction here would open the door for crippling liability and undermine the interests of farmers who depend on federally registered pesticides for their livelihood.
On the other side, attorney Ashley Keller.
You unanimously held in Bates that a pesticide can be registered and nevertheless misbranded, even if it uses the label that EPA approved at registration. Yet Monsanto now asks you for the opposite holding, that Roundup cannot be misbranded as a matter of law because EPA found for the first time 50 years ago as a matter of fact that it is safe based on information Monsanto submitted. After two briefs and a lot of podium time, Monsanto still hasn't pointed to one word in FIFRA's text that says the agency's factual findings at registration create a requirement for labeling. That's because the text repudiates that proposition in no uncertain terms. 136AF2 is an anti-delegation clause. It says that the agency's findings at registration are nothing more than prima facie evidence of compliance with the labeling requirements. Prima facie evidence is not a law of the United States made in pursuance of the Constitution. It is a thumb on the evidentiary scales that can be rebutted, and a reasonable jury has rejected that evidence. With no satisfactory response to 136AF2, Monsanto changes the subject, making the totally uncontested point that the express preemption clause talks about requirements under FIFRA. We agree. We're good textualists. We don't ignore prepositions. And we agree there are affirmative delegations of authority to the administrator to issue regulations that create labeling requirements. Monsanto's problem is they're not relying on any of those regulations. They're relying on registration and registration alone. There is nothing in, by, under, or next to FIFRA that makes the registration decisions that EPA makes binding labeling requirements with preemptive force.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
That's the whole point of the error rate issue that we put into effect.
Chairman of the House Ag Committee, G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania, in front of the House Rules Committee on the next farm bill.
You know, the farm bills in the past and the provisions of, I think, of SNAP have been pretty good. But the problem is when it gets down to the states. My own state of Pennsylvania 2 years ago was an 18% error rate. It was unacceptable. Then it went to 11%. And now they're working to get it below 6. Every state in the past 10 years has had an error rate less than 6%. That's why we, you know, because some error rates are just paperwork errors. You know, somebody didn't fill in the right line, missed the information. So that's why we didn't go zero in the end. We put the threshold at 6% and to get it under 6%. And if they do that, we're not talking about any additional money that they have to pay. But what we're talking about is a better, well-administered program that serves everybody, including the beneficiaries. An error rate would be counted as an underpayment. And we get that, right? You get a family that EBT card is not loaded up with the resources that it should have for a given month. And so it doesn't stretch as far. That's an error rate. That's wrong. An error rate could be an overpayment. And you wonder, well, how is that a bad thing? You know, people get more than what they need. Well, that's because the states do come back. It may be 6 months from then. They take money away to make up the difference. And so you're a family that shows up at a grocery store. You're going to use your two or three forms of payment, one of those being an EBT card. And you go to use your EBT card, and it's not near the amount of money that you thought should be on there. And so that's why it's so important to get this right for the people that are beneficiaries. And I will say, I get it. If a state's really screwing up, they're going to pay more money. But as my friends on this side of the aisle already point out, they're already paying more money when they screw up because they get fines. Now, they get fines by the USDA. I forget the amount of money that Pennsylvania had to pay for an 18% error rate. Yeah, $40 million. Thank you. It's a significant amount of money. So we're just adjusting this so that in the end, we set the expectation to get it right. There's an old adage out there, right? If you're spending somebody else's money, you're not as careful as if you're spending your own money. And we've seen that in the administration of this program. And so I look forward to the fact that we're making this program better. And the other thing I want to say is we've not cut anybody's. Now, there's people that come off of SNAP, obviously. A lot of people, I hope, have worked their way off of SNAP, you know, where they don't need it anymore because they've been able to climb the ladder of opportunity. We've not cut any individual benefits. And I will say, even OMB and others questioned what President Biden did under Secretary Vilsack of increasing benefits. They didn't use the proper formula that they should have always used. So there were probably grounds to do that, but it's not something I would do once families come to rely on that type of assistance. We did not cut anybody's individual benefits that they get. Ms. McGovern does a great job of tracking that number, somewhere around $2 per meal per day.
So prevents it from going up.
Yeah, and we didn't prevent that. Now, going forward, it's going to be according to the existing law, which is based on the inflation of food, not buying green vegetables or green food or whatever the crazy stuff that happened under the Biden administration. But it will be based on the inflationary impact of food. And that should be the primary thing. You know, being able to afford food is an inflationary factor. So going forward, when this gets reevaluated, hopefully on a regular basis, they'll stick with that criterion, the inflationary impact on food.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
The Department of Commerce continues to work around the clock to implement President Trump's America First trade policy.
Testifying before a House subcommittee on appropriations, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick.
Under Section 232, the Commerce Department is taking action on steel, aluminum, copper, pharmaceuticals, autos, semiconductors, and investigating other sectors to protect, reshore, and revive manufacturing. These actions have led to multi-billion dollar commitments to reshore steel and aluminum manufacturing and restore American excellence in critical industries. In the first year of his second term, President Trump has dramatically reduced the trade deficit, lowering imports and increasing exports. Exports went to $3.4 trillion, which is a 6% increase from 2024. And in 2025, the trade deficit was the lowest we've seen in 16 years. I'm proud of the role I played in negotiating our most important trade agreement, including the largest deal ever done, which was our trade deal and investment deal with the European Union. BIS is working hand in hand with the Department of Health and Human Services. We've arranged historic agreements to lower drug prices for American consumers, negotiating most favored nation deals, and ensuring Americans pay the lowest prices for innovative medicines. As a result of these deals, additionally, we have secured over $400 billion in commitments to reshore pharmaceuticals and manufacturing in America, those key pharmaceuticals. The budget includes a $215 million increase to BIS above the 2026 enacted level, which supports the hiring of hundreds of new special agent law enforcement officials to address the theft of American technological leadership by bad actors. These officers are critical to protecting and defending America's innovation. In ITA, we are driving record foreign direct investment, cracking down on harmful foreign trade practices, and supporting our 1.3 million American jobs with export and investment deals. In 2025, ITA helped Boeing, Wabtec, and other major American companies secure a record $244 billion in contracts with foreign public buyers. This exceeds the $17 billion that the Biden administration did in its first year. The budget includes a $10 million increase to the 2026 enacted level for trade enforcement in ITA and $100 million for the United States Investment Accelerator. The budget slashes unnecessary wasteful spending at NIST and other groups and eliminates the manufacturing extension partnership, which I'm sure we will talk about. At the USPTO, we are rapidly modernizing and leveraging technology to cut classification prep dramatically. We want to get rid of the massive backlog that we had and do a much better job. And finally, we have launched a new era of modernization of NOAA, where we're in the process of transferring the agency's IT system from a decades-old hardwired technology to the modern distributed cloud. This update will improve our forecasting capabilities, transform the way our forecasters do their jobs, and will make Americans safer. The budget also includes a $135 million increase to the 2026 enacted level for NOAA shipbuilding and our improvement of unmanned systems programs. For far too long, our nation was mired in status quo, leaving American consumers and producers alike with unfair, poorly implemented trade deals, outsourced jobs, and paltry investments that failed to meet our country's potential. President Trump is committed to ushering in a golden age of domestic commerce and bringing jobs back to the United States, and that's exactly what he's done in his first 15 months of this administration. I look forward to working with you as the department continues to spur economic growth and secure unprecedented prosperity for the American people.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.